Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
The sermon for today, the fifth Sunday after Easter, commonly called Rogation Sunday. Our race always used to be especially charmed with that. I've titled Steadfast in the Lord. The sermon was by the Most Reverend John T. Cahoon, Jr., late Metropolitan of the Church. We are now in the home stretch of Eastertide. The 40 days seem to have gone by pretty fast, certainly faster than the 40 days of Lent ever seemed to go. The prayer book's calendar winds up Easter with a sort of mini-season we call Rogation Tide. It is composed of today, Rogation Sunday, and then the Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of this week. The days leading up to Ascension Day, which we call the Rogation Days. Rogation comes from the Latin word which means to ask, as in interrogate. In this morning's gospel, Jesus says, "Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full." What he says justifies our practice of asking God for things in prayer. We ask for things because he tells us to, not necessarily because we have a complete understanding of how the process works. It is much like Holy Communion. He says it's his body and blood. We take him at his word. He tells us to ask for things. We ask for things. The specific thing we ask for that is most closely associated with rogation is a good fall harvest. Old Testament Judaism prescribed various springtime festivals in which the people would thank God for the rebirth of flowers and crops. They prayed that the new life they saw in the spring was a preview of an even more bountiful outpouring that would come later on in the fall. What came up in the spring was called the first fruits, implying that there would be later fruits, which was the fall harvest. In Judaism, the idea of first fruits provided the basic discipline for giving to God. Starting with Abel, the Israelites gave their tithes and offerings to God first, before they met any other financial obligation. Giving first fruits is, of course, the practice we should follow as well. If you tithe to God first, you show that you trust him enough to take care of you with the other 90%, and let you enjoy the other 90% without the nagging feeling of guilt. Waiting around to see what you have left over before you give anything to God shows that you don't take him at his word. It is no way to build up the trust and confidence in God's care for you that is an essential part of being a Christian. If you trust God enough to give him first, then you develop an ever greater sense that he is your Father who is taking care of you in material ways. In the New Testament, the idea of first fruits takes on some other poetic significance. In last week's epistle, St. James wrote, "Of his own will beget he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures." He is talking about the members of the church, about us. God makes us his children in baptism. He begets us, or gives us life, by the power of his word. That new begetting, being born again, makes the church the first fruits of creation. The first part of creation God has been able to buy back from the devil. The church is a foretaste and preview of Christ's final and total victory, which lies ahead at the end of all things. St. Paul goes through his most elaborate explanation of what the resurrection of the body means in First Corinthians. He says that the dead body, which we bury in the ground, is to the resurrected body we will get later on, as a seed is to the plant that comes up out of it. To further the comparison, he writes, "Now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept." That is the Easter connection of rogation time. Jesus is the first dead person to come back out of the ground alive. If we can call his resurrection first fruits, that implies that there will be more resurrections later on. The more resurrections later on are our own resurrections, which will take place at the end of time. St. Paul goes on, "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive, but every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterward they that are Christ's at his coming." What happened to Jesus on Easter will happen to us on the last day. As surely as nature's new birth in spring promises a rich harvest in the fall, Christopher Wordsworth writes in our wonderful hymn 92, "Christ is risen, Christ the first fruits of the holy harvest field, which will all its full abundance of his second coming yield." The best way to say goodbye to Easter is to take encouragement from St. Paul's stirring description of what is going to happen on the last day when all the fruits appear. "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord." And now unto God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost be ascribed as his most justly due, all might, power, majesty, dominion, and glory, now and forever.
Amen.